book of John, chapter 3. Book of John, chapter 3. I'd like to read the first 12 verses. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? By way of background, just prior to the verses that we read, Jesus had performed some miracles in Jerusalem. We see that in verse 23 of chapter 2. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. And then when Nicodemus said in verse 2, For no man can do these miracles, he's referring back to what we just read in chapter 2 in verse 23. So very closely connected to the events of our text, we are these miracles that Jesus had performed. In other words, we're reminded before we even get to John chapter 3 that Jesus is a miracle worker. In light of these miracles, we read of a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. That this man was a Pharisee means that he was an extremely religious man. He was a believer in the laws of God, and he was a zealot when it came to outer righteousness. That he was a ruler of the Jews means that he was probably a member of the Sanhedrin, which was the supreme council and tribunal of the Jews, deciding religious, civil, and criminal matters. From verse 10, we learn that he was also a master of Israel, or an instructor or teacher of Israel. So from all of this, we see that Nicodemus was a deeply religious man, like all Pharisees, steeped in tradition. He held a position of power. He held a position of influence. From verse 2, we're told that Nicodemus came to Jesus on this occasion in the evening, and he immediately acknowledged Christ as a teacher come from God. The basis of his acknowledgement was, For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him, referring back to what we read in chapter 2, verse 23. So Nicodemus comes to Christ, immediately acknowledges Christ as a miracle worker. So he believed that Jesus Christ could perform miracles. So here in John 3, we have Nicodemus in the very presence of a miracle worker. The response of Jesus to the statement of Nicodemus is recorded in verse 3. The response of Jesus was, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You see, Jesus had just told Nicodemus of the greatest miracle of all. "Except a man be born again." He was telling Nicodemus of a work of God. He was telling Nicodemus a God thing. And notice the response of Nicodemus in verse 4. Nicodemus said unto him, "How?" How? So here's Nicodemus. He's in the presence of a miracle worker. He's even acknowledged that fact. Jesus tells him, or the miracle worker tells him, of the greatest miracle of all. And Nicodemus' only response is, "How? How?" That is, in what way can this be done? This being born again. By what means can this happen? Jesus then begins to enlarge upon the miracle of the new birth in verses 5 and 6. And in so doing, in verse 7, he looked at Nicodemus and he said, "Ye must be born again." Jesus is telling Nicodemus, "You are in need of this miracle of God." Notice the response of Nicodemus in verse 9. How? How can these things be? Again, Nicodemus is asking, in what way can this be done? By what means can this happen? So even though Nicodemus acknowledged Christ as the miracle worker, twice, concerning the miraculous, Nicodemus asks, "How? How?" These questions reveal that Nicodemus was struggling. Yes, he believed that Christ was a miracle worker, but he's stuck. He is stuck on how. How can it be? I believe Nicodemus was struggling with and having a very, very difficult time grasping the difference between flesh and spirit. The difference between man and God. Nicodemus was struggling and having a very difficult time grasping between the difference between the power of man and the power of God. He was struggling with the difference between the ability of man and the ability of God. Struggling with the difference between the thoughts of man, because he's trying to figure out how this is going to happen, and the thoughts of God. Struggling with the resources of man and the resources of God, the difference between them. Struggling with the difference between the know-how of man and the know-how of God. In verses 11 and 12, Christ told Nicodemus that he needed to just simply believe him. He needed simply to trust him and accept what he was saying. Now, this conversation between Nicodemus and Christ took place over 2,000 years ago. And it is still packed with valuable lessons relevant to each one of us today. The main subject of their conversation, of course, was the new birth. That is not the subject of this message. I want to speak this morning on the how behind the miraculous. The how behind the miraculous. Because just like Nicodemus, often after the Lord reveals to us the need of the miraculous, our hearts and minds are flooded with, how? How's it going to happen? How can that be? And we often get stuck there. People get stuck in the how. And I believe that is the cause of much uneasiness amongst God's people. That is the cause of much restlessness amongst God's people. They're trying to figure out how. That is the cause of much fretfulness amongst God's people. That is the cause of much agitation amongst God's people. Getting stuck within the how is the cause of much of the confusion of mind that exists in God's people. It's what causes so much fear. It's what causes so much anxiety and distress in the lives of God's people. How? And Nicodemus was stuck there. He realizes, just like everyone here that's saved, you realize that God is a miracle worker. There isn't anyone here that is saved that would deny, yes, God can perform miracles. No one would deny that. Yet when God tells you of the miraculous, many times the first response is, how? How? And you immediately set on figuring it out. No trust in God. And when you can't figure it out, you take matters into your own hands. This is a common fault amongst God's people. And the response of many, and some may be thinking right now, well, we've got to do something. No, you don't. No, you don't. Show me that in the Word of God, and I'll believe it. But no, you don't. So what? How do we prevent this getting stuck on how? First of all, we need to fully grasp who God is. We need to lay hold of the fact, and the fact needs to get hold of us, that God is. Whatever the situation, whatever the circumstance, God is who He is. Not only that, God is all that He is. And we need to grasp the fact that God is. We need to grasp the fact that God is Almighty. And oh, how we need to realize and understand that the God who placed the sun and the moon and the stars and the galaxies and the planets in the sky, by merely speaking, He's an able God. He is an able God. The God who created the mind-boggling distances of the stars is an able God. The God who created the seas and the oceans and the lakes and the rivers and the streams by merely speaking, He's able. God who took the dust of the ground and formed man, He's able. Folks, He can take the dust and make something of it. He can take nothing and make something of it. He's able. The God who makes the sun to rise every morning and the set every evening. The God who sends the wind and the rain and the snow and the hail and causes the grass and the flowers and the trees to grow. He's able. We need to grasp that God is able. We also need to grasp and get a hold of the fact that God knows how. And if God knows how, I don't have to know how. He already knows. So I don't have to know. We also need to grasp the fact that God is present and He's near. But there is nothing more present. There is nothing more near than God. We need to grasp the fact that God reigns, that He reigns supreme. We need to come to realize and understand that come what may, God is on His throne and He's not in a quandary. Everybody else may be in a turmoil. Everybody else may be in a quandary, but God isn't. He's as calm as can be. We need to get a hold of the fact that God excels everything. No matter what your now consists of, no matter what your place is, no matter what your situation, no matter what your circumstance, God is greater than all of it. We need to grasp that fact. We need to recognize, and again, I'm not being a smart aleck, but this is very true. There is a God, and we're not Him. We need to recognize that. There is a God, and we're not Him. You don't have to do what God will do. You're not God. We need to recognize that. You say, well, that's how, we all know that. I'm not so sure. There are many people who don't know that. They would never come out and admit, I'm God. But that's how they live their lives. And we all do to some degree in different circumstances. So we have to be aware always that there is a difference between my flesh and spirit. There is a difference between the power of man and the power of God. There is a difference between the ability of man and the ability of God. There is a difference between the thoughts of man and the thoughts of God. And yes, there is a difference between the know-how of man and the know-how of God. There is no need for you and I to get stuck on how. No need. Secondly, we need to grasp the need of the miraculous. Miracles are occurrences above the laws of nature, and it is God who has established the laws of nature. Miracles are above the laws of nature. Miracles go beyond the ability of man. Miracles are an intervention and a manifestation of God's power. Now, all around us is the need of the miraculous. Each and every one of us have need of miracles right now. There isn't anyone sitting here that does not stand in need of some kind of miracle from God. There isn't anyone here that does not stand in need of the intervention of the miraculous power of God. We don't need to get caught up on how. We just need to realize that we need miracles. And God is the miracle worker. In this building right now, there are situations, there are circumstances that are absolutely overwhelming to flesh and blood. overwhelming. In this building right now, there are situations, there are circumstances that are far, far beyond us, far beyond even our comprehension. In this building right now, there are situations, there are circumstances that require the miraculous hand of God, and nothing short of that will avail. There are needs right now. There are innumerable needs in this building. And to some, there is no provision in sight, no sign of provision in sight. There are those weighted down with burdens. And there are those who feel that I can't go on any further. You need a miracle. So don't get stuck on how. There are trials. There are difficulties. And sometimes those trials and difficulties appear to be unending. There is no sign that they're going to end. You need a miracle. Not necessarily to take away the trials and the difficulties, but to enable you to endure the trials and difficulties. There are battles and there are struggles that we are in danger of losing. There are some right now, you are in battles and you are in struggles and you are getting whipped every single day. You're losing the battle. Need some miracles. There are intimidating giants before us. Innumerable foes. And these giants and these foes, they appear to us to be unstoppable. There are obstacles that appear to us to be insurmountable. But is there any enemy or foe unstoppable? No. Not when you put God in the picture. Is there any obstacle that is insurmountable? No. There are problems that appear to have no solution. There are questions that appear to have no answers. We're talking about right now in this building. There are rivers that seem to be impassable. There are fortifications, and it does not appear that these fortifications can be broken through. There are some who live in the wilderness, and as you look around, there doesn't appear to be any way out. There are valleys that appear to be endless. And there are hurts, and there are wounds, and there are sorrows and heartaches. And there doesn't appear to be a remedy in sight. There is things that are broken. Every one of us in our lives right now have things that are broken. There are things that are torn. And to some, there is no sight of repair. There is no sight of mending. There is waste. That's true of all of us. There is some waste in our lives. There is some ruin in our lives. And to some, there is no sign whatsoever of restoration. There are storms. And there appears to be no break in the clouds anywhere. There is weariness. And there doesn't appear to be any relief in sight. There are prisons that people are in. There are prisons that people have created. But either way, whether you've created the prison or whether you've been cast into the prison is real and there doesn't seem to be any release in sight. There are souls that have been devastated with sin. souls that have been devastated with irreverence, souls that have been devastated with disobedience, souls that have been devastated with defiance and hardness of heart and indifference and apathy, with no sign of improvement anywhere. What we so desperately need is not the product of the flesh. What we so desperately need is not the solutions of man. What we so desperately need is a result of the miraculous working power of God. We all need miracles in our lives. Every family here today stands in need of miracles. And all through the Word of God, we see the miraculous over and over and over again. All through the Word of God, we see the miraculous transformation from darkness into light. That takes a miracle. From weakness into strength. From defeat into victory. From chaos into order. It takes the miraculous power of God to bring this about, to cause turmoil to turn into peace, and uncertainty to turn into certainty, to cause storms to turn into calm, and sorrow into joy, and fear into courage, and defeat into victory. These are the results of the miraculous power of God. Turning spiritual poverty into spiritual richness. Turning spiritual gloom into spiritual gladness. Turning spiritual emptiness into spiritual fullness and bondage into freedom. This takes the miracle of God. Only God can do these things. But we may ask ourselves, how can these things be? That's what Nicodemus asked. Well, Lord, how? And the answer is not in the intellect of man. The answer is not in the power of God, man. The answer is not in the ability of man. The answer is not in the know-how of man. The answer is not in the resources of man. The answer is God. When we ask, when God presents to us the miraculous, and we ask, how? The answer is simple. God. God is the answer. That's the how. Throughout the Word of God, we read of such things as God's people crossing the Red Sea. And God's people crossing the Jordan River on dry ground. Of how God provided for His people in miraculous ways, in unthought of ways in the wilderness. How He turned bitter waters into sweet waters. How the walls of the enemy fell down flat. How He gave victory of a few over innumerable multitudes. These are all miracles of God. These are all the doings of God. We read of a shepherd boy by the name of David defeating a giant by the name of Goliath. We read of Elijah being fed by the ravens. We read of God's people being sustained and delivered from absolutely impossible situations. How? The only answer, God. God. We read of God's people being spared in the very midst of a fiery furnace. We read of the mouths of lions being shut for the sake of God's people. We read of a bunch of skeletal remains being put back together and clothed with flesh and given life and becoming a mighty army. This is all the results. Not of the intellect of man, These are not the results of the power of man or the know-how of man or the ability of man. These things did not come about by the resources of man. These things came about by God. It is God who can turn a wasteland into a garden, just like that. And it is God who can take a garden and turn it into a wasteland. It is God who can put rivers up in mountains, spiritually speaking. These are all the works of God. We read of the blind having sight restored. We read of the crippled and the paralyzed made to walk. We read of the deaf, where how they had hearing restored, and lepers, how they were cleansed of their leprosy. And we read of the demon-possessed being liberated. We read of the dead brought back to life. We read of a prodigal son being brought back from a life of waste and being brought back from the hog pen to his father. It was all the work of God. All of these things. Great multitudes fed with paltry means. Troubled storm waters calmed. Peter walking on storm-tossed waters. And one may ask concerning all of these things, how can these things be? And again, the answer is not found in the intellect of man. The answer is not found in the power or the ability of man. The answer is not found in the resources of man. The answer is God. Don't get stuck on how. Just trust Him. Just trust Him. In the Word of God, we read of dead sinners being made alive. We read of the condemned and the guilty being pardoned. We read of filthy sinners washed. Rebellious sinners reconciled. Ungodly sinners justified. Enslaved sinners delivered, lost sinners found, and helpless and hopeless sinners forever changed. And yet people still ask, how? Well, I assure you, the intellect of man never made a dead sinner alive. The power of man never made a dead sinner come to life. Never. The power and the ability and the know-how of man never washed one single sinner. It's all of God. The how behind the miraculous is simply God. And oh, how you and I need the miraculous power of God in our lives. There isn't anyone here, again, that does not stand in need of miracles every single day. Sometimes we are brought face to face with the fact, as it was with Nicodemus, we need a miracle. And many times our response is the same as Nicodemus's response. How? And we set out to figure it out. And we get stuck there. And we began to get very restless and fretful and agitated. Become very fearful and distressed because we're stuck with how. And yet all we need to know is God. It's not man, but God. And then in verse 12, Jesus told Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you need to just trust me. And that seems so trite many times, but it's true. We need to trust the Lord. Trust Him. To trust Him doesn't mean that you are looking to Him, and yet all along, just in case He doesn't come through, you're working behind the scenes. That's not trust. Believe it or not, God doesn't need our help. And believe it or not, we would see many miraculous things if we would just get out of the way. Just get out of the way. Don't worry about how. Just know this. God can. God can. That's where our confidence is to be. That's where we're to place our dependence. We're to be absolutely persuaded. God can. I know He can. Will He? I don't know. But let me tell you this, if He won't, nothing else is going to work. Nothing else will work. If God chooses not to, that's His business. But nothing else will work. Only God. Trust Him. Lean upon Him. Look to Him. Come to Him. Plead with Him. You have needs of the miraculous. Plead with the miracle worker. Talk to the miracle worker. Lean upon the miracle worker. Oh, we need to learn this. The truth is, we learn it today, we'll forget it tomorrow. And that's why we need to learn it today, and then we need to learn it again tomorrow. And then we're going to need to learn it again Tuesday. We need to keep learning this every single day of our lives. The how behind the miraculous is God. We've got to know that. We've got to be absolutely certain of that. Brother Larry, if you'd come.